Well, this morning, before we get into our message, I just want to make you all aware. You can get on our website, and you can see it's right on the front page there. We are partnering with WLJN here locally and other area churches to really send a financial gift from the Traverse City churches collectively to Samaritan's Purse. They're already helping out in Oklahoma, as we just prayed, and I know you've been praying. Maybe some of you have family out in the area or friends over in Oklahoma, but there's a lot to do there. And so between this morning and June 9th, so you've got 2 weeks, you can pray. There's a lot of ways you can get involved. You can either send a check directly to WLJN for Samaritan's Purse, and they'll make sure that all gets sent out. Or you can write a check here in the regular offerings. We'll make you aware of it over the next couple of weeks. If you want to give something towards that, you just need to mark Oklahoma on there, Samaritan's Purse. And then we're going to send one check, WLJN is, for all the churches in Traverse City. I think it's just a great way for the churches here locally to really make a combined effort and really raise awareness and send as large a gift as we can. So get involved. Get on our website. There's a lot of information. It'll tell you what Samaritan's Purse is doing. If you have questions about that, it's right there, easy to find on our first page of our website. Just click on the slides, and it'll take you right to the page, and you'll get all the information you need. Well, this morning, we've got a special guest. How many know Pastor Dwayne Vanderklok? He's been up here. Just an awesome. I came to the Lord under Pastor Dwayne's ministry 23 years ago. It seems like it was just yesterday. And been wonderful, him and Jeannie, just mentors and friends, and we just love them so much. Well, Pastor Dwayne called me up this week, and he said, Tony, he says, my son Samuel is going to be up in Traverse City. You need to have him preach in your church. Well, when Pastor Dwayne says you need to have, I mean, he's not like that. I'm just having fun. But I thought, awesome, you know, we can get him up here. And, you know, he says, you're doing everything anyway. It's nice to take a break. Pastor Dwayne's so convincing. But I said, well, what's Samuel doing? I knew Sam. I mean, believe it or not, you'll see him when he gets up here. But I remember Samuel, he's just little running around, and back when we first got saved in that original building that I got saved in, so I talked with Sam. I said, well, what are you doing at the church? And he's really part of the creative team. He's part of the preaching team. Preaches in their main sanctuary all the Wednesdays. Pastor Dwayne says he's had him on Sundays before. So I know the young man knows how to bring the word. And so I know you are going to be blessed today. And so would you please join me in welcoming Samuel Vanderklok. Come on, Samuel.
Thanks, Tony. Oh, you guys got all excited thinking it was going to be my dad, didn't you? You're like, oh, it's the shorter guy that just looks like him. In fact, we had an event at Granville about a week or two ago. We had the Grand Rapids Symphony came in and played with the worship team and different things. So it was a bunch of, appeals more to some of the older people. And so I came into the auditorium and there was a lot of older people and people who I didn't recognize. But many of them recognized me. They were like, hey. I go, oh, how are you doing? They go, are you a Vanderklok? I go, yeah, I am. They go, I knew your dad when he was a little boy, and he was really naughty. And I got that about 4 or 5 times as I walked through the auditorium from different people. But thank you so much for having us. As Pastor Tony said, I'm Samuel. My wife Becca is here with me. And then next service, our kids are coming. We have 4 kids. We have a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Party for us. It is a nonstop party. We just have tons and tons and tons of fun. But today we're gonna talk about how a life that's made strong, or that is built strong, is one that is particularly and purposefully made that way. That it doesn't happen by accident. That it's because it follows a plan. And we have plans, and some of them work out, some of them don't. In fact, one plan that I'm hoping that we would love to see work out is my daughter Molly is. How old is she? She's 5. She's 5 years old, and for about 3 years, she's had a plan. And her plan is to marry a boy named Isaac. And we like Isaac. He's one of our buddies, one of our friend's kids, and we think it's absolutely great. But one day, she comes running up to us. We're over at their house, and she comes running up. She's just bawling. She goes, Mommy, Mommy. And Max's like, what is it, Mommy? She goes, Isaac said that if he wants to get married, he wants to marry me. But he might want to be a ninja. Yeah! And I'm like, well, if you took second place to ninja, you're still doing pretty good. It's not like you're doing bad or anything. I think you're okay, but we'd love that plan to work out. But it's because we have a plan, and few great things happen without a plan. Right? We accidentally, well, I just accidentally discovered electricity. No, it took like how many hundreds of tries before we get the light bulb to work? It's like, okay, I have a plan that I'm working on. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. This is what it says. It says, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. Underlining that last part in your Bible where it says, the Holy Spirit has fitted us together into one body. I love that part because I build things. I like building things. We have kids, I already told you. So we had to get them beds and we go to the store and I'm like, all right, sweet. And you touch the thing, and it starts to, like, wiggle and shake, and you let go of it, and it's still wiggling and shaking. I'm like, what is wrong with this bed? My kids are going to rip this thing apart. Are you kidding me? I'm like, I'll make them something instead. I'm like, I can make them that. Forget it. I don't know what I'll do or how to do it, but I'll make something different. We'll do something besides that. And so because of that, I got into woodworking and making things because I'm like, I'm not going to pay money for that. I'll build it myself. And the more I got into woodworking, the more I appreciate the people that actually do this full-time and build fine furniture and things. And the little tiny, it's just this little tiny piece that has to fit, but it doesn't fit. And the only way to make it, and it doesn't, it just doesn't fit. And I'm like, I don't know why it doesn't. It should fit. Everything should say that it's supposed to fit together, but it doesn't. But this is what it says, that the Holy Spirit is the one that fits us together. He is the one that fits us together. He is the one that does it. He has a purpose and plan for each of us, and that when we will allow him to, he will fit us together. So each of us, we have a specific purpose, a specific design that God has for us. It's different, and it's specific to you, and it's specific to me. I love as you build things, like, well, this piece of wood will be good for this, and this piece of wood will not be good for this, and I learned things about, like, grain and the way that it runs and how that makes a difference. And how strong it is, and what it'll do. I'm like, oh, okay, of course. That begins to make sense, but it is the exact same that God has for us. Ephesians 2:10 puts it this way, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared things for us, for me, for you to do. And it isn't like somebody else. It's not like you can just sit there and say, well, that's for somebody else. That wasn't for me. That's for the person over there. Or there, that I know the person, the girl behind me, that's for her. No. Each and every one of us have this. For each and every one of us, he prepared things, prepared stuff for you and I, each of us, to do. We were not saved to simply like, okay, well, now, you know what? You are on your way to heaven. That is great. Go sit by the lake for a while. Right? Just chillax. Sit back and wait for Jesus to come or for you to die. One of the two. No, not at all. Instead, he's like, I've got stuff. It's not just sitting around. He said, now you're on a team, and as part of this team, we got stuff to do. We got places to go, people to see, things to do. Let's make it happen. That's what he has for each and every one of us. Now, I want to read some verses. I'm going to read them rather quickly. If you're taking notes, you're really good, you might be able to keep up. Otherwise, you might want to just take down the references. But I want to see if you can find the theme in these verses that jumps out at me. I think it will for you, too. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's okay, well, let's keep going. Colossians 1:10, and we pray this in order that your life may be worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. 18, commanding them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. We'll go to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Titus 2:7. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds.
1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day that he visits them. Anybody catch it? He's got some good stuff, good deeds, good things for us. It's good things for us to be doing. Now, at first, when I read that, I think, well, wait a second. What happened to the things prepared for me? It went from, I've got something for you, Samuel, to, it's some good stuff. I'm like, where's the specificity? The word that I can't say, where's that word? Where's that in there? Why isn't it specific to me anymore, right? It's kind of like, hey, I've got a shoe. Do you want it? Well, what kind of shoe? And the lady's like, wow, wait, well, who's got a shoe? Right? It's like, well, wait a second. What brand is it? What kind is it? What type of sole? What is it? Well, tell me something about it. Because if you say it's a Nike, well, then I know it'll never fit me. I have fat feet. I can walk on water without a miracle. They just, I've never been able to wear a Nike in my entire life. There's narrow things for narrow-footed people. So I would know that wouldn't apply to me. And kind of when I read that, for a minute, that's what I was thinking. I thought, what happened? I thought it was special for me. But the thing is, as I read that, as we think of good works or good things, different things pop up into all of our heads. Some of you think, oh, I am just so excited to help with kids. I just love that. Some of you think of, oh, orphans. Some of you think of the elderly, like, okay, helping and taking care of those who no longer can take care of themselves. And some of you think of, oh, high schoolers, and they need this. And some of you think of, I need to make money, and I think of missions. And missions is just where it's at. It's about reaching the world. And some of you think of, well, when I think of that, I think of growing my company, and I think of sending the gospel, of helping to send the gospel all over the world. We all think of something different. And that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Because we're each a part, and each part is different, but we all fit together into one body. If we were all the exact same, not only would it be incredibly boring, right? But any two people that are the same, well, one of them's not necessary, right? Like, you're doing the same thing. What is this? We don't need you. We already got you. You're just shorter over here. You're a taller version of that. We don't need that. But instead, we're all different, and God made each and every one of us that way. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of us, all of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. See, it's not supposed to be the same. We don't all think the exact same thing at the same time. We look at something and we're like, good? Yeah, I see something completely different than you do. I get excited about doing things that to you don't like to do, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be the exact same. It doesn't need to be the exact same. 1 Corinthians 12:24, if you turn there. Like, I don't like cities. I don't like big cities. I love that they're there, but I don't like big cities at all. We're driving down, driving through downtown Grand Rapids, and Avery looks over, and there's these big, big buildings, well, tall buildings. She goes, Daddy. She goes, how long did it take to build those buildings? I said, oh, it took a long time. She goes, does it take as long as going all the way up to the cabin, which is 2 hours? That probably took a little bit longer than that. And she goes, now who lives there? I said, well, a lot of people. She goes, where do they live? I said, well, they live on top of each other. There's a house and there's another house, and they're not really big. And then she goes, why do they want to? I said, you know what? I do not understand it. I have no idea why they want to. But I'm so glad that they're there because it leaves more room for me everywhere else. I'm like, that is great. I don't want to visit you. You don't want to visit me. That is just fine. I'm like, absolutely. Becca and I, one of our dreams is to live on a dirt road so even less people will come by and visit us. We're like, that would be even great. Like, that would be awesome. But it's not for everybody, and it doesn't need to be that way. 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now, the body is not made up of one part but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. See, it's different. But in the fact that we are different, all of a sudden, sometimes we can look at our differences and say, well, you're not like me, and you should probably be like me. And the more passionate we are about whatever it is, suddenly we say, well, why aren't you passionate about what I'm passionate about? I wake up and think, the orphans need to be fed, and I need to adopt an adoption, and that is where it's at and what we are called to do. And why don't you wake up thinking as much about what I'm thinking about as what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about it. Why aren't you? And there's a problem with you because you're not thinking about it as much as I am. And the truth is you fit that part, and they fit a different part. And what the devil loves to do is see us use our passion, the passion that we have, that God put on the inside of us to meet a need that we see, that we were created, that is in us to meet, and then instead of fulfilling that passion and going after that passion, to get mad at others who have a different passion. Well, you're not, what's wrong with you? Why don't you do this as much as I do? And you should be, and singing, it's all about the worship, and we need more, and we miss it. And some of us, no, we don't. We don't need any of that. And all we need is teaching, and we don't need teaching. We need Bible groups and studies, and that's what we need. It's about getting into the Word of God, hallelujah. Right? And it's because we have different, it's just different. But we all are apart. And just because we're not like that other one doesn't mean that the other one isn't necessary or needed. Thank goodness that there's people out taking care of the kids, and to them that they come and think, it's so great that I get to come and administer the Word of God to little kids. And that their attitude is, I might be the first one to teach this person about Jesus. I might be the first one to read them this Bible and explain it in a way that they can understand. And to them, they're like, you know what? I get that. And they get all excited about it. I thank God for those people, that they're the ones doing it. And there are others who they've never set foot in a foreign country, but they funded the gospel all over the world simply because of their giving. And they say, you know what? I'm doing this. And they sacrifice, and they say, you know what? We're not doing this, and we're not going to go here, and we're not going to do it this way, but we can send the gospel. And so we're doing that. And they're doing this, and they're setting a part. And each one of us has a part to play, where we just get in and we say, all right, I am going to do it. About 2 years ago, we went down to Oklahoma and went to a conference that was down there. I was really excited about the church building conference, and I was staying, went and talked to my aunt who lives in the city, and we're staying with her. And she goes, well, hey, you're going over to that church? I said, yeah. She says, well, but the funny thing is many of our friends are leaving that church right now. I'm like, really? Why? She goes, well, they don't really like where the church is going and what's going on at the church, and you're coming to learn from them. And I talked with her a little bit more, and this is what was funny, is I went to Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. That's where I went to Bible school. And while I was there, I attended this church. It was Church on the Move. That's where I went to church. And since I left, about 13 years, I've listened to all their podcasts. I stay connected to the church. I love the teaching when I was there. As a pastor, I've got to get fed, so I listen to other churches all the time. That's one of the ones I listen to. And so she's talking to me about, my aunt's talking to me about the changes that are happening at that church, and I'm like, I've listened to everything that they've taught. Probably 99% of every message that they preach on a Wednesday or a Sunday, I've heard. And doctrine hasn't changed at all. The doctrine is still the same. We figured out what exactly they were talking about is their presentation has changed. Their music had changed. Instead of, and it was some of the older people that were saying, we don't like them gearing things towards a younger generation. And I said, we don't really like that, so we're going to go somewhere else. And I went to the church, and this is what I thought. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Here the older generation who have gone through the trials, who've come to the other side, who have stood on God's promises when it was so hard, when things weren't right, and have seen that it works, that have seen God be faithful, and that can tell these younger people, hey, it does work. Here's how it worked in my life. Keep doing it. Don't. And now they want to walk away from a group of people that need their input so, so much. I'm like, you have exactly what that generation needs, and you would walk away from it? Because they're there, instead of saying you have a part to play, and that maybe no longer the music might not be exactly the way that you would prefer it, but instead you can have a part in speaking the truth of God's word into situations and saying, here, not only did what pastors say, is it true, but here's how it played out in my life. And no one can argue your story. You can argue doctrine with somebody, right?
Well, actually, I think the way that it said in the Greek and the Hebrew, and if you pronounce it the way that they did, you should have spit, which you didn't, and not only that, but it actually meant this. So I don't think,
but when you tell your story and you say, this is what the Word of God said, I stood on it and look what happened. They can't argue with that. And here a generation that had that was beginning to pull away, and I thought, I hope that they don't. I hope that instead they plug in even more, that they see a need and say, that's where we need to be even more. There's a story in the Bible. Judges chapter 2, verse 10, is talking about the children of Israel. And it says this about the children of Israel. And if you're familiar with them, they come out of bondage in Egypt. They're led through the desert, and all these miraculous things happen. Okay? First of all, they're led through the desert. By night, the Bible says that the presence of the Lord led them as a cloud of fire. During the day, it was a cloud to give them shade. That's awesome in itself. I'm like, sweet, I'll take that. Forget any other GPS, as if they even work. Yeah, I get sent on wrong roads that don't even exist. I'm like, I can't get to, what is, but anyways. Okay, so that was the best GPS ever, by the way. Okay, parting of the Dead Sea. It splits, the sea opens up, they walk across on dry land. They say, oh, we're hungry. Food just comes in, bread rains from heaven. Birds just fly in so they can eat them every single day. Like, here we are, eat me. That's awesome. Okay, it was an incredible, incredible experience. Water came out of rock. God said, okay, the water's bitter. It's no good. God told them, hey, this will heal the water. All of these things. But understand this. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. After the whole generation, that whole generation, the generation that experienced that, that saw that, after that generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up that neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And here's the crazy part that I think about that, is that generation neither knew the Lord, but here's the part that just got me the most, nor what the Lord had done. They hadn't been told. They had not been told of all the things that God had done for that previous generation. 1 Corinthians 16:24, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the people. Among all the people. That we have a response to say, hey, look, no, it does work, and this is what happened in my life. This is how it works for me. This is how it worked for me. You do that, and God will come through. He will come through for you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now that part, I said part again, that's a lot of part, I know. But that part of that is pretty amazing. It says this, each of you is a part. You don't have a choice. We don't get the, well, I don't really want to be a part of this. God's like, you're part of it. You are a part. I was prepared in advance for you to do. You got some stuff to get done. Go do your doing. He has that for us. And here's the thing. When we don't do it, we were still to be a part of it. We still have a part to play. We're just not doing it. Have you ever had your leg fall asleep? You ever sit too long on the toilet and you go to get up and your leg's asleep? I'm the only one. Yeah, thank you. Right? You go to stand up and be like, oh, that isn't working, right? If something isn't working, everything else has to compensate. Right? You're like, wait a second, this isn't right. And everything else is suddenly not right, and it's messed up. We came up this week, I had a blast. My wife, Becca, ran the marathon yesterday. She did a great job. I did not, because I hurt myself. And the problem was, is that everything else was trying to, I kept running, thinking, I'm going to run through this. When my muscles were sore and weren't working properly, so the rest of my body was trying to compensate for that, so I pulled a different muscle because if one muscle wasn't doing the part that it was supposed to do and another part was trying to take care of that part, and it wasn't supposed to do that part because it was another muscle that's supposed to do that part. And I hope you understand what I'm saying there, but the thing is because one thing wasn't doing its part, somebody else was trying to pick up the slack, and it wasn't meant to. That's not what it's supposed to do. That muscle does one thing. It lifts your leg this way. It doesn't do the other way. There's another muscle that does the backwards part. And each of us, we have a part, and we are a part. Yeah, yeah. And some of those parts might be asleep. Some of those parts might be look like they're dead. But we have the choice, and God said that you are a part. And he put gifts and passions in every single one of us, in every single one of us that he has for us to do, for us to be a part of. And if you wake up and you're like, you know what, I can't believe it, but this is what needs to be. And maybe you come to church and you think, there's just this one thing missing, and I love everything else, but what I'd love to see is, maybe you're the answer to that. Maybe it's time for you to start and be like, okay, then I'll do it. I'll be the one that comes in and I'll do the prayer thing, or I'll do the outreach in the school or this or that. Or that's for you. Maybe that's a passion that God's put inside of you to meet a need that somebody else isn't supposed to meet. And we don't get upset that somebody isn't doing it, because that's what Satan likes to do with our passion. But instead we say, this is mine. I'm following it with all of my heart, with all the strength, with everything that you've given me, God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it to the very, very best of my ability. That's Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Whatever it is we're going to do. You want to know what God's will is, and you're thinking, okay, God, I want to be made strong. I want to have a life that's made strong, God, that's built on your word. God says, okay, whatever you find to do, do it heartily as under the Lord. You know what my word says? It doesn't contradict the word of God. It isn't unethical. It isn't illegal. Then do it with all your heart. Just get in there and do it as all your heart unto God. Do it with everything that he's given you. Go ahead and do it. Just go at it. Be more afraid of doing nothing than doing the wrong thing. I look at Paul in the Bible, and he was by far one of the largest enemy of the faith at the time. He went around killing, persecuting Christians. And who does God decide he wants to use? He's like, ooh, him. That one. The one that's torturing, killing, and persecuting my people. That's the one I want to use. Most of us would be like, okay, we got to stay away from him. Maybe we can, okay, can we kill him? Can we strike him with lightning? Like something here. Maybe a donkey accident comes by, like a low-speed accident. I don't know, something. But we would want to take him out. But God says, oh, no, he's doing something. I can use him. All I have to do is redirect him. So God appears to him in a bright light. And his answer to God appearing to him is, who are you, Lord? And he gets redirected, and he does more than all the other disciples who'd spent years with Jesus to further the kingdom of God. Because he had direction. Be more afraid of doing nothing than doing the wrong thing. If you have a passion that God has on the inside of you, and you're just like, well, I don't really know if this is my call. God, is this exactly what you have for me? I don't exactly know. Whatever your hand finds to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And then you know you're doing God's will right now. Amen. You are right in the very center of God's will for your life if you're doing that right now. Instead of sitting and thinking, well, what does he have for me in 5 years? What has he got for me right now that I can be doing to fulfill the plan, the passion, to be doing my part so that we can be a body. A body, the church body that is made strong, that is equipped for all the good that he has to do for each and every one of us and for us as a body of Christ. Imagine of what the church could be and how much more it could do. If we all fall in and say, okay, this is my part to play, you can do your part, and that's neat. I'm glad I'm not doing your part, but I'm going to do my part, and I'm here, and this is what I'm after. I'm building God's kingdom with everything that he's given me. Come on. I cannot wait to see that church. Yeah. Right? To see what they're doing, the reach that they have, the impact on the community that they have, the voice that they have, the platform that they have to speak the truth of God's word into the lives of all those that they come in contact with. That makes me excited to be a part of the kingdom of God. Doing what Jesus said he would be doing. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He had asked him. He said, who am I? And he answered. He said, you are Jesus. You are the Son of the living God. And he says this, my Father who is in heaven, and I also pray. And he says this. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you want to be a part of what Jesus is doing, you're going to be a part of building the church. Because he said, I will build my church. This isn't a call to go do our own thing, but to instead to unite under the body of Christ and say, okay, this is my church, and God, I am here to do and to be a part of this church. God, I know that, and I'm going to follow it and do it with all of my heart, with everything that I am, to be the part that you have for me to play. It doesn't have to be that hard. Sometimes we complicate things and we think, well, I need this future long, and God, and what do you have for me that I can't reach? And God's like, you can reach it. It's right here. It's right now. It's right in front of you. Just volunteer. I just want you to come and just be in a part. Be a smiling face for that person that comes in, that everywhere they go, they feel like they don't belong anywhere. But when they come to church, you greet them and you smile. And they know that they belong when they come. That there's people who care about them, that want the very best for them. And just show them my love. Just show them my love wherever you go. And maybe you say, well, it's a little different for me. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Let's each do our part and build the kingdom that he has called us to build, so that the church can be the church that he wants, because Jesus said, I will build my church. That is what he is doing. And he hasn't stopped. It hasn't changed. And we all have a part that we get to play. Maybe we were asleep. If you were sleeping, then wake up. Maybe shake that leg. Do what you need to do, but wake up and say, okay, now I'm going to do this. God, if you want to direct me something different, that's okay. But right now, I'm doing this with all of my heart. I'll walk in the light that I have instead of looking out to where the darkness is and say, God, if this is what you've given me, this is what I'm going to do. And the thing about it is when we do follow God's plan, he said, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. We know what the outcome is. We know what's on the other side. We might not know exactly how we're getting there, but he says, this is what it is. You follow this, and it's good. We don't have to be afraid of it and think, well, what's exactly going to happen? Awesome is going to happen. That's what is going to happen. It's just not knowing and trusting in him, saying, God, we do. We trust. And so, God, I will fulfill. I will follow the passions that you have given me. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know all of you in here. But I know that God has a purpose for every single one of you, a plan and a passion that he has put in every one of you. And that some of you have thought about that this morning as I was talking. You've been afraid to start, afraid to step out. And this is your call this morning to do, to follow, to take those steps, to follow the passion that God has put in you. If that's you and you say, no, that was me, and I want you to help pray that I would follow through with this, I want to say a special prayer for you. Would you lift your hand and say, there's a passion that I haven't been following that this morning I'm going to. There's some steps I haven't been taking, but I'm going to take them. I may have been asleep, but now I'm awake, and I'm going to fulfill the plan that God has for me. I see all those hands. Okay, put those down. All right, God, I pray for those that lifted their hands, God. God, that they do. They're seeking after you. Your word says, if we seek, we find. If we knock, the door will be open. God, I thank you for opening doors for them so that they can fulfill the plan that you have for them, for following the passion that you've given them, God, so they can be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your church, God. I thank you for that. And if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I talked about all these things, that God has a plan, that he loves you. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're on the outside looking in, but you do not have to be. Jesus, I came to give you life and life to the fullest. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity. You can leave here knowing that you're forgiven, that you are free, that a God who loves you, who has a plan and a purpose for you, that you're not an accident, you're not here by accident. God has a purpose for you. And you can begin to know that purpose and plan that he has for you, starting right now. If that's you, shoot your hand up and say, that's me, and I'm leaving different, I'm leaving forgiven, and I'm leaving free in Jesus' name. If that's you, lift it high so that I can see it. Thank you. Is there anybody else who say, that's me, and I'm leaving different than I came, I'm leaving free, I'm leaving forgiven? All right. Let's all, would you all just repeat this prayer after me, and let's pray with those who lifted their hands. Say, Jesus, forgive me and make me new. I believe that you died and rose again. And from now on, I will live for you. Come rule and reign in my life. I thank you, God, that we will now do life together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. With every head bowed still and eye closed, young man who lifted your hand, would you just look at me? Just look up here. make sure you see me right after service. I've got an usher making his way to you right now, giving you some information. Love to talk with you afterwards. So we'll be right by that door back there. Make sure I talk with you before you leave. Awesome. Well, what a great word this morning. How many enjoyed that? I thought that was just phenomenal.